Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
This morning, got a dear friend of mine. As a matter of fact, Dr. Olala is, sometimes I get, when I preach downstate or in Indiana, I get introduced as the governor of the UP. Well, this morning, I'm introducing you to the Pope of the UP. Dr. Lester, he still speaks the original tongue, the original language. You're going to hear that when he gets up to preach. And seriously, he is the wisest youper I know. That's kind of a low bar, isn't it? He is the wisest man I know. He just oozes scripture. I mean, it just comes out. What a counselor, what a preacher. And I just so greatly appreciate him. And I pray he's with us, he and Charlene, a lot of years yet. And they're a great personal blessing to me when he speaks. Dr. Olala, we love you. Come and give to us the word of God. Would you do that?
Well, I got kicked out of Head Start, so I'm not sure about that wise youper thing. But I have kept my visa active, and so I can go. They wave me right through when I'm entering the UP out of Wisconsin, and so glad to be here. It's always refreshing for me. My wife Charlene waved back there. We met 57 years ago, celebrated 55 years together on June 5th, and we are always excited to get an invitation to come this way because there is a live body of believers. And no matter what level of spiritual growth you are, no matter where you are in that sanctification process, you are in a place that is going to enhance that progress into a Christ-like character. Let's turn to Luke chapter 8. I am going to title this, Changed from the Inside Out. Changed from the inside out. There is a difference between being chained and changed. I was invited to speak to a large group of chaplains and those who were in charge of the religious operations in the prison system in Illinois. And I chose to speak on the topic, how do you reduce recidivism? How do you reduce repeat offenders? And I preached from this chapter. And it was a mixed multitude in that group. I said, there is only one way that a person will change. And that is a change from the inside out. And I think we have a perfect pattern of this in this story of the maniac of Gadara. We'll look in Luke chapter 8 and verse 22. And it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. They were filled with water and were in jeopardy, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Now, I believe this storm, there are two storms in this chapter, one on the Sea of Galilee, one raging within the heart of this man we will consider from Gadara. But I believe this storm was caused by Satan. There was another storm that Jesus said, simply peace be still. I think he prayed that storm up to test the disciples. This one, I believe, Satan tried to sink that boat before they got to where Jesus was going to meet this demon-possessed person. And I think he attempted to sink that boat thinking that the creator of the universe could be drowned if he got a bad enough storm going. But the other one was never rebuked. This one was rebuked. The raging wind was rebuked, and the waters settled. And verse 26, and I think the reason Satan wanted to stop that, because he knew that he had control of that region, and he knew that Jesus Christ getting there could change his control over that area. Verse 26, they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city. Note that, out of the city. This man had had a normal background. He had a normal home at one time. So this was someone who was there all of his life. Something happened in his life. Some change happened. Some turn took place that he ended up in this condition. There met him a man out of the city, a certain man which had devils a long time, wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus?" Note, these are demons speaking. Yes. "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him, kept him bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. They besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they fed them, saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man, note this phrase, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. They also saw it, told them by what means he was possessed of the devils, was healed. The whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house. Show how great things God hath done unto thee." He went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Now, first of all, I want to see this man's condition. What was the condition of this maniac? First of all, we see he was unclean. He was filled with devils, completely possessed. We see that in verse 27. And we see that also in verse 29. There were an unclean spirit that came out of him. So he was in a position of uncleanness. When we were born separated from God. We were born unclean. There is no way we can clean ourselves. Number two, we see he was unclothed. Not only in nakedness, but he had no righteousness. He had no robe of righteousness. Not only was he unclothed physically, he was unclothed spiritually. And we have to realize the condition I'm describing here was the condition that we were in before we came to Christ. And perhaps you are here this morning never having come to Christ. You're sitting there unclean because you've never had your sin cleansed. You're sitting there unclothed because you have never been wrapped with the robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, we see he was uncontrolled. They tried to chain him. They tried many different ways. He was restless in verse 29. And for oftentimes it caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. You cannot put enough chains to change a habit you're trying to break. You might have come under bondage of some kind of a habit, some kind of a lifestyle, and you make up your mind you are going to bind yourself, that'll never happen, and you'll snap the chains every time. When I was at Northland, I chose not to have the opening revival for the college the first week. I wanted to wait 3 weeks into the semester. Because when people come for that first week, there's a certain amount of emotion. It's a new experience for many. And they're there, and they we could preach a passionate message, and there would be a response. I wanted to wait 3 weeks where they lived in the dorms with other people, and they would have already heard the handbook. They would already have seen the patterns. They would have already have seen. And I wanted to see what chains were going to snap in those 3 weeks. And I'd be laying there, and I'd be thinking at night, 3 weeks in the semester, I said, boy, did I hear a chain pop, ping, ping. Pretty soon, 3 weeks in, boy, where the RAs are coming, boy, so-and-so. Yeah, that what's happening is the chains are popping because some students come unregenerate. And boy, you tried to put them into an atmosphere where Christ is central and the Word of God is the focus, and they come with a condition of backslidden heart or a lost condition. There is no way that they're going to feel comfortable in the structure that is leading to a Christ-like conformity. And my, how many times in that third week of the semester when hearts were genuinely being revealed, that when the truth of the Word of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be going from here. My wife and I will be driving to Ankeny, Iowa. The president of Faith Baptist Bible College is Jim Tillotson. Jim Tillotson came to Northland as an unsaved boy, though he had all of the externals. And he said, I can still show you the rock where I knelt after a service, a revival, and where he said, I can show you the rock where I knelt and surrendered my heart to Christ. Uncontrolled and then unconverted. Verse 30, what is your name? Legion, because many devils were in him. So unclean, unclothed, uncontrolled, unconverted. Many are in that condition. And some people will come and say, I need deliverance. I need deliverance. And you say, I don't know how long I can live with this. I don't know that I can continue to go. Number two, I want to look at his conversion. We see the condition. Before we were saved, we can relate to that condition. Well, look at his conversion. First of all, it was a witness to the character of Christ, verse 28. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? Amen. Yep. The demon world recognizes who he is. That's why I'm convinced Satan tried sinking that ship going across before they ever got to where this man was. Because there was a witness to the character of Christ. You remember Pilate's wife? When Christ was going through that phony trial, Pilate's wife says, have nothing to do with this just man. Pilate himself says, what has he done? I find no fault in this man. Judas plants the kiss of betrayal, gets his 30 pieces of silver, realizes what he had done, and he throws the 30 pieces of silver away and said, I have sinned in that I betrayed innocent blood. He walked with Jesus for 3 years. He saw that this was God in flesh. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 1, I am an exegete of my Father. We like exegetical preaching. And Jesus said, you see me, I am exegeting who the Father is. We see that witness to the character of Christ. Thou Son of God Most High. There is no other way to heaven. Amen. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. And thank God, when he went to the cross, he bore all of the shame and bore all of the spitting and the pulling of the beard, the mockers. And yet when he went on the cross in those 3 hours from noon till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the world was in total darkness. The light of the world was out. What was happening in that 3 hours? The full wrath of God was being poured out on the Son. Why? Because he, the infinite one, was paying my infinite penalty. Because he was infinite in a finite period of time, he could pay my infinite penalty. If I die outside of Christ, that payment is infinite. It is unending. But he, the infinite one, in a finite period of time, satisfied the holy demand, because God's holiness, his supreme character, could not manifest his separated from him because of sin. Born separated from God, the holiness of God was the standard. The love of God manifested unless wrath was satisfied, and God the Son left the Father's throne to be born in a feed trough, to live 33 years in this world, taking on flesh, God in flesh. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Then he goes to the cross. And at 3 p.m, when the light came on again, propitiation work was done. Amen. The satisfaction of the holiness of God. So now God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now the love of God is manifested to us because his holiness was satisfied. That's why I believe that God's holiness is his prime virtue. Because his love could not be shown. And we have to be careful that we don't put love as his prime virtue, and holiness then gets put aside. Because it's his holiness that had to be satisfied. Secondly, his conversion was without the works of man. And look in verse 29. For often it caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters and with bands. Now, I think these hog farmers, and those of you who know some hog farmers, they're not small people. They're not weak people. I remember way up in Mohawk, we used to do the 4th of July things, and then when inside the ice rink there, that was an outdoor rink, they would release a greased pig. And you'd go, any of you had ever catch a greased pig? Well, my brother Earl, who was really fast, he caught that greased pig, had that thing, and a farmer caught him and a greased pig, and Earl squirted out, and the farmer ended up with, with the pig. I mean, I think these hog farmers caught this guy napping and said, you know what, we can't, our kids can't go out to play with this idiot on the loose. They chained him. Say, oh, what a difference. Bing. What was that? Sounded like a chain break. Yeah. Bing. What was that? Bing. Pretty soon he's out on the loose again, because you cannot change a person with chains. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which I have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. It is without the works of man. You say, well, I've tried to keep my 10 commandments, and I've tried to keep the teachings of the church. Charlene and I were doing a revival in Lower Wisconsin. A lady came, I'm not going to go into the whole story, but this man came who was a new convert himself, said, my mom's coming tonight. I said, Mom, there's an old-timer preaching. You're an old-timer. He's an old-timer. You guys will hit it off. And so she came. We met the van that night, and she came in that Sunday night. And I had gone there 6 months earlier and preached on prayer to set the church to 6 months of praying leading up to that meeting. And I said, start an impossibility prayer list and pray for these 6 months leading up to that meeting, and pray through your impossibility list, because we all have impossibility prayer lists. And this man came who himself had been converted just a brief time, said, my mom's coming tonight. And so anyway, when we came, I said, I hear you're an old timer. I'm an old timer. Let's go in the office and talk. And so Sandy, her name was, I said, tell me about your life. And she told me about the highs and the lows and the struggles. And then it came time for me to preach, so I preached, and she stood by Charlene and me when we were shaking hands after the evening service. And then I said, "Sandy, if you died right now, do you know you're going to heaven?" She said, "No, I don't." I said, "Would you want to know?" She said, "Yes, I would." So we went back in the office after we shook a few more hands, and I went through the bridge tract to show how the Spirit of God works. I took a bridge tract, and I started going through that bridge tract with her. And she said, "You know what? I got that this afternoon in my Meals on Wheels. Someone delivered Meals on Wheels, and in my food thing was this tract." She said, "I read that this afternoon." I said, "How do you plan to get to heaven?" She said, "Keep the Ten Commandments and try to do the teachings of the church because you were raised in a religion." I said, "How is that working?" "Well, really not so good. There's no way. I mean, Moses broke all Ten Commandments at the same time. How are we going to expect to?" And I said, "You know, Sandy, we were born separated from God." And I said, "Now the cross bridged man, God, and the cross was the bridge." And I said, "You know what happened on that cross? He paid my sin debt. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." It has nothing to do with my works. It has everything to do with me accepting the gift of eternal life. This morning, perhaps you're saying, "Les, I have no assurance of heaven." Your penalty has been paid. Yours to receive the gift. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, but it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then thirdly, it was by the word of God. By the word of God. The demon said, "Don't send us to the abyss before our time." Because those demons knew that they were demons chained. So wicked, they ran the earth during Noah's day. And they were so wicked, they were chained. You read 1 and 2 Peter, and you will see that group between the crucifixion and the resurrection. It was that group that Christ went to and preached to during that period of time. He didn't preach the gospel. He went and said, "I won." To those demons who were chained. Those demons here in Gadara knew full well where those demons were. They said, "Don't send us to that abyss," because the abyss is where those demons were chained until they were casting into the lake of fire. And look what it says. Verse 32, "And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. They besought him that he would not suffer, that they would suffer him to enter into them. And he suffered them." In other words, he spoke, and the demons departed. The word of God. If you want to see a reference in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God which abideth forever. Amen. We see John 17:17, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." Not only by the word, by the precious blood of Christ was that wrought. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. By the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. How did his conversion take place? Without the works of man, by the word of God. The blood, the word, and then by grace, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves." It's a gift of God. The demons were departed at the command of Jesus Christ. He spoke the word. The demons departed. Now let's close with his change. Saw the condition which was miserable. We saw the conversion which was miraculous. Now we see the change, which is really a testimony of the power of the gospel. First, we note it was a change of character. And there we see in verse 35, "And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. It was a change from the inside out. These demons were in controlling. Now, they were out from that person. You know, when you change, if any man be in Christ, he becomes what? A new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. That present tense, it's a continuous thing. Things are becoming new all the time in our sanctification. Change of character. Then a change of conduct. You can try changing conduct, but if there's been no change of character, your conduct will go exactly back to what it was. Because it's not out of whom, and you try to clean up, it will not last. But notice the first thing, he was sitting. Before he was wild and running, out of control, all of a sudden, and now he is sitting. And always in the scripture, when you see someone sitting at someone's feet, they were sitting as a learner. First thing he wanted was more of truth. Amen. That's the first sign you'll know you have been born again. When you begin to realize, I cannot get enough of this. And then we see that sitting. Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. This maniac now sitting. Next obvious thing, and by the way, if you have no desire for this book, and it's something you carry on Sunday morning, you'd better find out what you got when you came forward.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Because where there's life, you know, that's going to be a cry for food.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, you might go for a little period of time, but there's going to be a yen. I need food. The milk and then the word. And that's why I'm so thrilled about this Bible Institute idea that's coming, because the more of the word we can get into us,
yes.
What a blessing that is. And secondly, he was clothed. That was a rather obvious change. Not in his one button suit anymore, running through the tombs. He was now clothed. And the third thing, he was in his right mind. You know what happens when you get changed from the inside out? Your thinking clears up. You're not thinking crazy. You're not thinking odd things. Because when the Spirit of God is within you, He gives you right thinking, and you are no longer thinking against God. Because before you are saved, there's a constant push to think against God. Satan will say, if God is so good, then why? If so-and-so, why did God do so-and-so? And then all of a sudden, you're sitting as a learner, and you're sitting in subjection to His lordship in the life, in our right minds. Romans 12, 1 and 2, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you. In the right mind. Change of conduct. Then last of all, there was a change of his commission. What did this maniac want to do now that he was converted? What did he want? He wanted to be with Jesus. And Jesus said, now out of whom the devils were departed, verse 38, besought him. He said, now Jesus, I want to be with you. And Jesus sent him away, saying, look, verse 39, return to thine own house. Will you talk about a family message? And show. How many of us need to just go home and show that we've been changed from the inside out?
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast, when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.